Welcome to the Sports Zone on WHRU LP 101.5 FM Huntley Community Radio. I'm Anthony Collada. We've got another packed show with Red Raider football, Cubs, Sox. We got college football back. The NFL is less than a week away, so let's jump right into it. And with the best moment in sports this week, it goes to Serena Williams in her final match over the weekend. On Friday, September 2nd, Serena Williams took on Australia's Ajla Tomljanovic. I probably butchered that, but it was Serena Williams' final match. They had over 29,400 people in attendance. Unfortunately, Serena did lose in the third round of the U.S. Open, but it was a three-hour match. It was back and forth. There was a lot of excitement. There was a tie break in the second set. And, you know, it unfortunately, she didn't go out on top with the win, but here, that her ending her career on a loss is not going to overshadow anything that Serena has accomplished in her career. I mean, here, she started and she picked up a tennis racket at age 3, and she's going to put the tennis racket down as the greatest female, if not the greatest tennis player to ever live. And she was the first player ever to achieve the career Golden Slam, which is win all four majors and a gold medal in both the singles and the doubles. So just one of so many accomplishments that Serena Williams has accomplished over her lengthy career. And, you know, she was overcome with emotions afterwards and explained them as happy tears, you know. It's always tough for an athlete to hang it up, but when you know it's time and you can go out on your own terms, and that's, you know, that's exactly what Serena Williams did. And, you know, credit to her, we probably will never see another tennis player like Serena Williams. The Red Raiders had their first home game of the season, defeating McHenry Warriors 23-15, and it was all Red Raiders in the first half as they took a commanding 16-0 lead. And, you know, it looked like Huntley had everything going. McHenry had fumbled 4 times in the first half. Only one resulted in a turnover, but several penalties on the McHenry side lasted all game long. And the Red Raiders just did enough to win the game and hold them off at the end. Hayden Jahnke ran for over 100 yards again, had 2 touchdowns. Ben Wiley, the defensive end for the Raiders, had a fumble return for a touchdown in the first half. And one player that really stood out on a play that I didn't even realize it in the moment calling the game, Janiyah Slaughter ran in a 35-yard touchdown. She's a girl, and I didn't even realize. And when you were watching the game, she was very small. Like, you could tell she was, you know, very little. I didn't know who she was. I didn't even know she was a girl. And then I saw it on the Facebook page, you know, a couple days later that, yeah, it was a girl that scored the touchdown. So an amazing moment. And she's super fast. Like, she broke out, she broke a couple of tackles, and she was off to the races, and she was gone. Like, you could not tell, nobody knew. Like, it was a fantastic moment to, you know, find out afterwards. Just keep inspiring, you know, at girls finding their way into male sports. You know, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, you know, but hey, keep inspiring, you know, show out. So a great moment for her. And just the overall story of the game, though, was the penalties for McHenry. I mean, on the defensive side of the ball, they were constantly giving the Raiders first downs, constantly giving them yardage. And then on the offensive side of the ball, McHenry would, you know, they had good drives. They were driving down the field a little bit, and then all of a sudden they'd get inside the 40, inside the 30, and then a 10-yard penalty here, a 15-yard penalty here, and now all of a sudden they're 3rd and 15 from their own, or from the 45 again. So then they're out of field goal range, so they weren't able to put many points on the board. And then the second half kind of came around, and it was time for the Raiders to try to eat up some clock, kill some time. How do you do that? You run the ball. Well, McHenry knew that. They were starting to stack the box. So Raiders had to kind of change up their offense a little bit. But ultimately, what it came down to at the end of the game and in the fourth quarter was McHenry would hold them on first and second down, and they'd be in third and long. And then the Raiders would go hard count, third and five. And then I think it happened four or five straight times that that next play on like a third and short, third and mid, they would run a little five-yard hook to the first down, and they'd throw it. Receiver would catch it, fall down, first down. And that's how the Raiders managed to hold on to the ball and kill time throughout the game. Looking at that, Coach Namola, you know, credited Hayden Jahnke, saying that he's the personality of the offense. And, you know, they want to be balanced, but they know where their strengths are. And that is handing the ball to the big man and letting him rumble. They've got Prairie Ridge coming up, and Namola said that, you know, he knows that they're a perennial power in the conference. You know, they're a terrific football program, so they're going to have to come ready to play. And he says they need to be disciplined and they need to lean on that offensive line. So look again for a heavy diet of Hayden Jahnke out of the backfield. As for the Chicago Cubs, they really struggled this week. They lost 2 of 3 at Toronto, and then they were swept over the weekend in St. Louis. Their only win of the week came Wednesday against the Blue Jays. Luke Farrell got the start, his second or third start now with the Cubs. Kind of going with just the opener role. He pitched 2 innings. He allowed 2 earned runs. And then Manuel Rodriguez came in for the next 2 innings, allowed only 1 hit, and was in the game for the win. Brandon Hughes pitched 1 1/3 perfect innings in the like 7th, 8th innings, and then Rowan Wick came in for the save. In that game, Ian Happ, Rafael Ortega, Zach McKinstry each an RBI, and Nico Horner drove in 2. And then Franmil Reyes, who continues to show some pop, continues to show some slug, and a much improved bat. He also went deep in the ballgame. As for the Cardinals series, it really wasn't competitive, just like the last series really wasn't. I mean, the Cardinals are atop the NL Central, hoping to make a deep run into the playoffs, and the Cubs are bottom of the barrel division, bottom of the barrel MLB team. So it went about how you would expect. A couple small roster moves for the Cubs. Wade Miley was transferred to the 60-day injured list, so his season will most likely be done. I think he may have started like 3 or 4 games. Unfortunate for him, veteran guy who hasn't really been able to stay healthy over the last couple of years. You know, wanted to see him come in here and give you some good veteran innings, help mentor the young rotation, but that just didn't happen. As a result, David Bodie was recalled from AAA. He has not had a good season. He really hasn't played all that well since he signed the extension a couple of years ago. Hopefully, he's able to find his bat. And before we go to the White Sox, we pause for a second for station ID. You are listening to WHRU LP 101.5 FM Huntley Community Radio. As for the White Sox, though, their fortunes were much better than the Cubs, winning 2 of 3 against Kansas City and 2 of 3 against Minnesota. And the game that stands out is the 13-0 rout of the Twins on Saturday, where Dylan Cease went 9 innings, struck out 7, walked 2, and didn't allow a hit until 2 outs in the bottom of the 9th. So a heartbreaker there. Luis Arraez singled in the 9th to end the no-hitter. But Dylan Cease continues to show why he is a top 1, top 2 AL Cy Young candidate. I mean, here, Justin Verlander, and we're going to get into this, he's hurt now. And he was probably the guy leading the conversation. So now that he's hurt, Dylan Cease is here. He continues the deal. Could see the Cy Young in Chicago this year. And then there was the White Sox did win on Friday as well against the Twins with a 9th inning comeback. Joe Kelly started the game and was immediately taken out after two earned runs after the first inning. Davis Martin came in and really shut the door with five shutout innings and kept the White Sox in the game and allowed them a chance to put up some runs late. Yasmani Grandal went deep in the eighth to retie the lead after the Twins took it in the top half. And then in the bottom of the ninth, Jose Abreu walked it off with an RBI fielder's choice. So you're starting to see these guys, you know, we've said it with the White Sox every week. Get those guys that are your key players, get them playing well, and, you know, get them in a spot that hopefully they can continue to make a push in this division. And right now the White Sox, they sit at 67-67. So right at that 500 mark, as they have been all season, really over the last five seasons, honestly. They are two games now out of first, both behind Cleveland and Minnesota, who are tied at 68-64 atop that division. Tim Anderson still on the IL. Hopefully his return is coming soon for the White Sox. And then a couple of other notes. Tony La Russa, the White Sox manager, is going to be out indefinitely. He was rushed, or I don't know if he was rushed to the hospital, but he's having tests done on his heart. They don't know if he's going to be, I mean, they don't know if he's going to be okay. They don't know if he's going to return this season. So a situation worth noting as we get down the stretch. Eloy Jimenez, who had some lower leg stiffness, soreness, whatever, early in the week, he sat out Friday, did pinch hit, and then came back on Saturday and hit a home run. So he looks to be okay, but definitely worth monitoring for him as he, you know, he's battled injuries throughout his young career. As for the Chicago Bears, no preseason game this week, so just finalizing the roster. And a couple of things, N'Keal Harry did in fact go on the injured reserve, designated to return, so he can be back at earliest week four. Tajay Sharp, the other receiver that the Bears brought in this offseason, he's on injured reserve, but he is done for the season with a rib injury. As a result, the Bears signed Amir Smith-Marset. He was a fifth-round pick last year of the Vikings. He went to Iowa. He's shown some flashes, shown some potential. And then the Bears also claimed a defensive lineman from the Vikings, Armon Watts, who had five sacks, 33 pressures, and 10 quarterback hits in just nine games last season. So those are two guys that I've been seeing that Minnesota fans are not happy about losing. So hopefully they can come in and add a boost to each side of the ball for the Bears and kind of find their way in the NFL. Jack Sanborn, who had the fantastic week one preseason game, he did in fact make the roster. He'll probably back up Roquan Smith or one of our other linebackers, maybe eventually find himself in the starting role. Tavon Young, the guy from the Ravens who the Bears brought in to play slot corner, he is on IR with an undisclosed injury. His season is also over. And the Bears added to the offensive line as well, claiming Alex Leatherwood off of waivers after he was cut by the Raiders, a former first-round pick that he played a little bit of tackle, he played a little bit of guard, just never worked out with the Raiders. And honestly, it was because he was thrown into a situation he had no business being in. He wasn't a first-round talent. He was more of a second- or a third-round talent that needed a year or two, maybe even three, to find his footing and figure out the NFL. So Raiders cut bait with him very quickly, and the Bears jumped all over it. And it's the perfect move. I think he's owed maybe $4 or $5 million for the next three seasons, like each year. So it's relatively cheap for a young guy that, you know, he was a higher-end draft pick that if he could figure it out, find himself right into a starting role for the future in the Bears. Some other points to note with the Bears, new stadium plans are coming out soon, hopefully sometime this week. We're going to get an idea of what the field in Arlington Heights might look like. let's just say I hope they do it right. Don't move out of Chicago and lose the tradition if you're going to mess it up. But if they could do it right, it's the absolute right move, I think. And then Ted Phillips, the CEO of the Chicago Bears, is retiring after the season. And all of the city of Chicago is doing a little jump for joy after that. Is he in his like 40 or so years as the CEO of the Bears? We've won like 3 playoff games. So definitely time for some new leadership. Get him out and, you know, let's change the culture. We've already changed the coaching staff and, you know, kind of get some new names, new faces, and new voices in there. Now you're starting up at the top as well. Quick note on the Bulls. Lonzo Ball, doubtful for the season, or the beginning of the season, with as he still is rehabbing that knee. It's not a great situation for Lonzo to be in right now. I mean, we've heard all off season long about how his knee isn't doing all that great, and this just confirms, you know, him not being able to play doesn't spell good news. Overall NFL news now. Harold Landry, the defensive end for the Tennessee Titans, he just tore his ACL in practice last week, and it's a tough blow for him and the Titans. He just signed a 5-year, $87.5 million extension to hold down the edge rushing position for the future, and now he'll be rehabbing and out for the season. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to stay in San Francisco, maybe a move that shocked some people. I think it shocked me a little bit. They reworked his contract. He is now guaranteed $6.5 million this year, and he could get up to $16 million in incentives. Just a quick note on this. I think that spells bad news for Trey Lance. I don't think you pay a backup quarterback $6.5 million with that much money and incentives if you don't trust your young second-year quarterback. So we'll see kind of where the quarterback position goes with San Francisco, but it will in fact be Trey Lance week one against the Bears. And, you know, speaking of football, it starts on Thursday, Bills versus the Rams on Amazon Prime. This is probably going to be like one of the best games of the entire season, and they put it right in the beginning. So get your popcorn, get your beer, get whatever you got to do to get you into the football mood, and let's get the regular season started. It's about time. And then a quick note with the Jets, Zach Wilson, he's practicing after he tore his meniscus a couple of weeks ago in the first preseason game. Looks like he's got a chance to start on Sunday, so a nice benefit for the Jets there. They don't have to run out Joe Flacco. MLB, as I mentioned, Justin Verlander now on the IL, so we'll see what that kind of does to his Cy Young status. Ichiro Suzuki, inducted into the Mariners Hall of Fame, and I'm kind of surprised it took as long as it did. I mean, maybe you have to have the X amount of years retired or whatever like you do for like the professional Hall of Fame, but Ichiro, one of the greatest Mariners to ever live, Japanese-born player. He's the hit king, arguably. You know, you had Pete Rose in that conversation, but we won't get into all that. But hit king with Ichiro in Seattle. He really held down right field, a fantastic arm, and just an overall great role model for not only our country, but his entire country of Japan as well. You know, really setting the stage for guys like Shohei Ohtani and Seiya Suzuki on the Cubs to be able to see the MLB and follow that dream of coming over from Japan. So very, very well deserved for him. Rookie pitcher for the Braves, Spencer Strider, struck out a Braves record 16 Colorado Rockies on Thursday. So Strider, he was dealing, and the Rockies had no answers. So a nice accomplishment for the rookie. He's got a bright future ahead of him. Aaron Judge hit his 53rd home run on Sunday, and then his 54th home run on Monday. Both of those were career highs. So now he's just adding to his total and seeing how many he can get to. I definitely think 60 is going to happen this season. And 60, it's one of those marks, you know, that guys only like Babe Ruth and Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire have hit. So Aaron Judge is continuing to mash baseballs. And speaking of mashing baseballs, someone that you know, not many people have done it longer than him. Albert Pujols hit number 695 the other day against the Cubs. And of course, he wasn't even starting in the game. And he comes in, pinch hits, and hits a home run against the Cubs like he's been doing his entire career. As a Cubs fan, as a Cardinals hater, he's killed us my entire life. But I want to see him hit 700. I mean, who doesn't? It'd be a great moment for him, for baseball, for everything. So as much as I don't like the Cardinals and I don't like him, I want to see 700. NBA moves. We finally had a domino fall in the trade game. Donovan Mitchell traded to Cleveland. The return back to the Jazz includes Colin Sexton, who is a restricted free agent, so he agreed to a contract extension with the Jazz. Forward Lauri Markkanen and Ochai Agbaji. And then three first-round picks and two pick swaps. Was the haul sent back to to Utah. I don't really think that's much of a haul, honestly. Sexton wasn't going to really have a role in Cleveland to begin with. Lauri Markkanen, he's a seven-footer playing the small forward position with two other bigs already on the floor, so not the, you know, he didn't fit perfectly with them, and I'm not going to lie, I don't know this other guy. So for the Cavs to basically be able to trade for a top 10, top 15 player and not touch their starting lineup, that's a win for Cleveland. College football, real quick, first week of the season. Some news, though, to look ahead to in the next couple of years. The college football is now going to go to a 12-team playoffs-type setting in 2026. So rather than the four teams that they have now, get more teams in there and make more of a tournament out of it. I think it'll be fun. We'll see how competitive it is, though, because you even see where one in four, one kills four all the time. So we'll see how that 1-10 or 1-12 game kind of goes. Some performances to note. Shedeur Sanders, the son of Deion Sanders, who plays under his dad at Jackson State, he went 29 of 33 for 323 yards and five touchdowns in the game this weekend. He started 17 of 17 and had three touchdowns. I think he completed one more 30-yarder in the fourth quarter, and then he was taken out. Pads were off, and the ice, the drip, the bling, it came out on the sideline as he was showing off after his game. So, Jackson State, the quality of competition's not quite there as you might see in opponents of like Alabama, Auburn, you know, whatever. But a fantastic start for him, and we'll see kind of where this Jackson State football team led by Deion Sanders goes. Couple games to note. Pitt versus Western Virginia University. MJ Devonshire, a pick six to walk it off. A fantastic moment for Pitt. And a great way to get their season started. And then Florida State and LSU, the game on Sunday night. LSU was trailing late in the fourth quarter. They scored two touchdowns in the final 4 minutes and 7 seconds of the game. Their second touchdown came as time expired. So 24-23, they line up, extra point, and it gets blocked. No time left, and the extra point gets blocked, and LSU's comeback, come-from-behind win, is spoiled in heartbreak fashion as they lose 24-23 to Florida State. So a tough loss there for LSU. FSU continued to fight until the end, and they pulled it off. A little fun fact as we wrap up our show and head into the NFL season. There had never been a team in the Super Bowl play in their home stadium in the history of the NFL until the last 2 years where it happened, both games. Tampa Bay beat Kansas City in Tampa Bay 2 years ago. And then last year, the Rams were at home and they beat Cincinnati. So that brings up the question. Who's home this year? Well, the Super Bowl is being hosted in Arizona. So I ask you guys the question. Do the Cardinals have it in them? Are we going to see 3 years in a row that the hosting team's stadium, the home team, is in fact that team? The Cardinals, I'm not so sure. I think they've got a talented roster, and I think the additions of Marquise Brown is going to help mask the suspension for DeAndre Hopkins, and then it's only going to make them better when Hopkins comes back midway through this season. J.J. Watt, hopefully he's able to stay healthy and be a big front on the defensive line. They still got Chandler Jones, Buda Baker. So they still got some talent on that defense. And Kyler Murray, I think he's a good quarterback. I think we're waiting to see him kind of become great. But I think the Cardinals will be in contention, but I'm just not quite sure that we are going to see it for a third year in a row. But that is going to wrap up our Sports Zone show for this week. Lots of information, and we'll be back next week with week one of the NFL, some more college football, and continue to follow the White Sox down their stretch one. So until next week.